Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Mighty God, we ask you to bless this act of worship. May it be pleasing to you, source of sanctification for us, and a source of bringing the culture of life more completely here to Charlotte, North Carolina. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget all his benefits. It is he who forgives all your sins. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
It is pleasing to God that you are up on a Saturday morning, and that many of you will be joining with me and the deacon in praying outside of the place that Jesus wants to go. And they need our prayers. And so we precede it by offering this sacrifice, asking God's blessings upon what we do. Now we might be a little less unworthy to offer this sacrifice. Let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I've done and what I've failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Rejoicing in this annual celebration of our Lenten observance, we pray, O Lord, that with our hearts set on the Paschal mysteries, we may be gladdened by their full effects. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
It is mercy that I desire, not sacrifice. It is mercy that I desire, not sacrifice. It is mercy that I desire, not sacrifice. It is mercy that I desire, not sacrifice.
May Almighty God. May Almighty God be in your heart and on your mind and on your lips. He may worthy announce his most holy gospel in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all the Holy Spirit. There's a group of young people talking amongst themselves after Mass one day. And I heard the young people saying, well, that was boring. And I heard them after Mass say, it was boring. I said, excuse me. I said, for me, the Mass is not boring. They looked at me. I said, the Mass for me is frightening. And it should be for you. Because I heard what you said. They looked at me. What did we say? I said, well, you know, didn't you understand the priest at a point in that Mass? He turned around and he said to you, my brothers and sisters, pray that my sacrifice and your sacrifice will be pleasing to God the Almighty. And I heard you at the end of the Eucharistic prayer. You said, yes, amen. You know, you said, yes, take my life. I give my life to you in sacrifice. I said, you know, God heard it. God's going to take you up on that. That's not just meaningless. The Mass is, God is off asking for your life. You see, you could, sacramentally, the sacrifice that Jesus completed is complete. But it's made present until he comes again for us, that we might join our sacrifice to the sacrifice of Jesus, that we might do what he does, or he does through us what he did once, he continues to do now. I said, do you realize what the sacrifice is? It's the sacrifice is this. Almighty God comes into the world to make reparation for the sins of the world. He comes to show us mercy. He comes to show us infinite love. And he gave everything. He gave everything. So when we offer this Mass, it doesn't end at the church doors. For us, it begins. And the essence of what Jesus did, he goes to Calvary, and he goes there not to witness the truth. We're not going this morning to an abortion mill in self-righteousness. We're not going there to say how great we are and all these other people. All these other people, they're not keeping God's laws and they can go to hell. No, our Lord went to Calvary. He went to Golgotha. For what purpose? Not to witness the truth, but to convert people to the truth. Much more profound. And you're not going to convert anybody unless you're like Christ. But when he went to Calvary, the two thieves were told in Matthew, they both were cursing Jesus, they gained the whole crowd, taunting him. If you're God, come down from the cross, who are you? And we are told that in Luke, one of the thieves, before he died, he heard what Jesus was saying. He understood now. Jesus was not there condemning. He was not there just witnessing. He's trying to convert the hearts. He's trying to draw people to the infinite merciful love of God. And so he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's making up excuses for them. He's praying for them. And so when we go this morning and we go to Golgotha, to Calvary, we're going there to do what Jesus did. And what Jesus said, I give you a final commandment. Oh, you know the regular commandments. But I give you a last commandment that separates Christians from the rest of the world. And what is that, Lord? I want you to love your enemies. I want you to forgive. I want you to show mercy and love to those who despise you, those who hate you. Oh, you're kidding. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. It's called the virtue of charity. Virtus is a power. And God gives us this power, and it's not human charity. Human charity, you're usually merciful and nice to those who are nice to you. But when they tell you to go to hell, you stop feeding them. But when they tell us to go to hell, we keep feeding them. We keep mercifully, we do not turn away. And so it is on the cross that as one of the thieves were told before Jesus died, he heard. And he saw Mary and John. And he saw none of them responding to the crowd. But they were peacefully, prayerfully, mercifully praying with Jesus. And he was touched. He was converted. This is a king. See, that's the goal. We're going there this morning, not to witness the truth, not in self-righteousness. We're going there to continue the work of Jesus. You see, Almighty God, when Jesus came into the world and he did the will of the Father and he mercifully gave his life for his enemies. And Peter said, why are you going there? It's dangerous. He said, I'm going in love for whom? For the person who's going to kill me. Because I want their salvation. I stressed last night and I stress again today. We go there not simply to save babies. Oh, we want the children to be saved. But they're not part of the culture of death. It's very important to understand that. The unborn children receive the effects of the culture of death. But they're not part of the culture of death. The culture of death is the people doing this to the children. The laws that the people propagate. The politicians and the governors and the media. And all that, they're part of the culture of death. And we're going there to change their hearts, to convert them. And the spot where that is their weakest spot, where it's indefensible, is where we're going this morning, to Calvary, to Golgotha. Where two people come into a building, we say, it's a medical building. It's not a medical building. There's nothing good happening here. You have two people walk into a building this morning, both perfectly healthy. One will come out dead and the other wounded. And what has this got to do with health? Nothing. And they all know it. And when you go there, everybody knows it. It's indefensible. So while we argue this case in the halls of Congress and in church and everywhere else, you're going to lose the argument. Pro-choice, pro-life, forget it. When you go to the spot where they're crucifying Jesus, when you go to the spot when the women are coming out weeping and the babies are dead, it's indefensible. That's their Achilles heel. That's their weak spot. That's where we're going. But we must go the right way. What we do is we go in prayer and mercy and love. Jesus did this, and now Jesus, in his risen body, cannot do it any longer. He's going, but he wants to do it. But he only can do it through his mystical body, the church. And so we can't do this on our own. So Jesus, I know that. But I love these people as I love you. And so this morning, I want to show my love for you. How? Well, I want to live within you. Come and receive the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we become one with Jesus. That's the main purpose of being here, to give your life to God, to be united with God. Why do you want to come and live within me? Because I love you. I want to give you my life with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But I also want you at the end of the supper, the Mass. Like I said to the apostles, when the first Mass was offered, will you come with me now to Gethsemane? Will you come with me now to Golgotha? Most of them didn't, you know. But Jesus is saying, look, I love you. Come to me. I want to abide within you. But I have another. I'm asking permission. May I live within you? You say, yes, Jesus. It's Holy Communion. But he says, I want another permission. What's that, Jesus? I want to go to Calvary and Golgotha again today, so that people will crucify me. I cannot go in my risen body. I only can go through with and in you, my mystical body. So we're not doing something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Jesus, the risen Christ, in his mystical body, the church, is going to do it today through with and in you. And so when we go, we must put everything aside that would stop them from seeing Jesus in us and his merciful love. So we're not going to say how great we are, the Pharisee in this morning's gospel. And we're going, as we're told in the first reading, Hosea, that we're going there in order to bring and make present God's mercy and God's love. So our mentality then is rather simple. We give God permission, and he comes and he lives within us. It's called Holy Communion, oneness with Christ. And then God says, now, I need you, like I asked the first apostles, to come with me, or through you, to go to Calvary, the place where innocent blood is being shed. And I want you to be there with the same mentality. Father, forgive them. We are there with the same mentality as Mary and John at the foot of the cross. And we're praying primarily for the salvation of souls. We're praying for the people who are caught in the culture of death. That's not the children. Yes, we want the children to be saved, but they've done nothing wrong in their lives, and if they die, they go directly to God. But it's the people who do this, their salvation is at risk, and they're the ones that Jesus wants to reach out to. The people were afraid to go to Calvary because everybody was screaming, as I mentioned last night, they wanted Barabbas. Barabbas. And only 5 people were willing to say, Jesus, Jesus, and stand with Jesus. Right? Choice, choice, freedom, freedom. Nonsense, nonsense. It's Jesus, it's the innocent children. They need our presence. It's the mothers who are being exploited. They need our presence. And the people doing this, they need our presence for the conversion of heart. So we cannot do this on our own. Impossible. To love your enemy? You're kidding. I have difficulty enough loving my friends. Never mind my enemies. You see? But Jesus says, I know that. But when you receive the Eucharist, when you receive the Eucharist, I will give you the power to do something that's not natural. And until Christians are doing this, we will not have peace on earth. We will not have peace. Peace requires forgiveness from the heart. Right? Peace requires people who are willing to show mercy. And so that's what God is calling us to do. That's when we'll be offering the Mass. And the Eucharist, the power of Christ within us, will enable us to do this. And so this morning, after Mass, we will expose the Blessed Sacrament. I will go inside, come back out, and we'll begin the rosary here in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you're going to the with us this morning, we're going to ask people to carpool, rather than everybody taking their own cars. Carpool, and we're going to explain to you where we're going to park the cars. When we get out of the cars, we will actually line up in twos, and each of us will receive a song sheet that has a hymn that will be sung in between each of the decades of the rosary. We'll distribute walkie-talkies, and then we'll go in prayer to the site. No talking. From the beginning of this Mass until we return here for benediction, there is no talking. We fast from talking. It's the most difficult fast that people have. Okay? And what we do is we'll fast, we get the spot in prayer and song. We'll go to the site. No one is to speak to anyone. And when we finish the prayers at the site, we're going to come back to where we started in silence, come drive back to in the cars to the church and have closing benedictions. Rather simple, rather profound. And as a result of that, we let God take over. We let God take over. But it is, just remember, they have to see Jesus in us. So we're not there picketing, protesting, screaming, yelling, talking. None of that. That all goes. And you're not there just to save babies. No, you're to save souls. Right? And if we save souls before the abortion, we save the baby. If we save souls after it, we save the people who are involved in this. See, most of the people going there have been brainwashed into believing, if I have an abortion, it brings back yesterday, I get on my life again, and everything's wonderful. It's a lie. And it's only after you crucify Christ do you realize it was a lie. We let Barabbas go free, and we crucified Jesus. After the mothers have the abortions, they realize, my God, it was a lie. It was a child of God. But as I mentioned to you, our presence must be such that they understand God is love. If they come back out, they see us still loving them as we love them on the way in. The merciful love of God does not change. We change. We stop loving God, but God never stops loving us. And we must pray, make present that unconditional, everlasting love of God by our presence this morning. And everything then begins to change. So it's in that spirit that we continue to offer this Mass. And we pray that God would give us the ability to love as God loved, to live our sacrifice, to let Christ's sacrifice be present in the world today through within us. That's what it means when he says, my brothers and sisters, pray that my sacrifice and yours today may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. And so we begin the sacrifice here sacramentally. We walk through the doors and we continue to live it in the world today, that they may see Christ in God's people. Let us pray at this time for the universal needs of the church and the world and for our own particular needs. For the cardinals gathered in Rome at this time, that they may be guided by the Holy Spirit to choose the man that God wants to replace Peter. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those who are caught in the culture of death, that the presence of God's people may free them from this error, and that the mercy of God may be manifested through us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the suffering, the sick, and the dying, those who care for and those belong to them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the suffering souls in purgatory, that God would grant them eternal rest, let us pray to the Lord. That there be a renewed reverence for life from the first moment of conception unto natural death, let us pray to the Lord. For all those who have requested our prayers, those we said we would pray for, and for our own particular intentions, let us pray to the Lord. Loving Father, moved by the Holy Spirit, we ask that you grant these petitions as always through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, food of the earth, work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. And blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine, work of human hands. It will become for us our spiritual drink.
Blessed be God.
Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and your sacrifice may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. O God, by whose grace it comes to pass that we may approach your mysteries with minds made pure, grant, we pray, that in reverently handing them on, we may offer you fitting homage through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For by your gracious gift each year, your faithful await the sacred Paschal feast with the joy of minds made pure, set more eagerly intent on prayer and on the works of charity, and participating in the mysteries by which they have been reborn, they may be led to the fullness of grace that you bestow on your sons and daughters. And so with the angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, so heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. And therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and the blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring it to the fullness of charity together with Bishop Peter and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may always be free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with you.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. When I say the word, and my soul shall be healed. The tax collector stood at a distance, beating his breast, saying, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Let us pray. May we truly revere, O merciful God, these holy gifts by which you ceaselessly nourish us, and may we always partake of them with abundant faith in our heart, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hold out to your faithful people, Lord, the right hand of heavenly assistance, that they may seek you with all their heart and merit the granting of what they ask, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Mass is ended. Let us go forth in the peace and love of Jesus Christ. Before exposing the Blessed Sacrament, I remind you again that what we will do is, in silence, maintain the most difficult fast, which is not talking. And so our conversation will be with our Blessed Lady and Almighty God. And after we expose the Blessed Sacrament, we'll wait a few moments just in adoration, and then myself and the deacon go inside. And I'm going to come back out, and we'll start the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And we're going to walk down the center aisle of the church, and you follow behind me. You go to your cars, your carpool, and someone in the car should say at a conversational level the Hail Marys, and just pray until you got to the spot where we're going to park the cars, which will be explained to you in a moment. And when you park the cars, I ask you to get out of the park, out of the cars in silence. And then we'll gather and line up in twos, and we'll distribute to you the song sheets. And we'll have walkie-talkies so that we can pray together and you can hear. And so we're going to walk down to the site, and we're going to be on either side of the street. And we're going to pray, going to the place, the Joyful Mysteries of the Rosary, singing hymn between each of the mysteries. At the site, we will do the Sorrowful and the Glorious Mysteries. And right before the final hymns, as is the custom of the helpers throughout the world, we have 1 minute of absolute silence at Golgotha. We just ask God for mercy, 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 in the silence of our heart, either standing, genuflecting, or kneeling. And then we rise in song and prayer, and we return to the cause, doing the Luminous Mysteries. You go to the cause, and in silence, you come back here to the church for closing benediction, and that's the end of the vigil. It's rather simple, it's rather profound. Now, the route that we're going to take and where we're going to park, Tom, if you would come, maybe, and give directions to the people in regards to that. Okay? If you please kneel. Please kneel. I would mention, those who are unable to make the journey or to go, we ask you to stay here at church and do adoration until we return. It will take about an hour and 15 minutes by the time we'll be back here. O salutaris hostia, quae caelim pandis hostium, vela praemunt hostium.
Hostilia, da robo fer auxilium, uni trino que domino, si sempiterna gloria, qui vitas sine ne termino, nobis donet in patria.
Stay.